For all intents and purposes, our servers and our bartenders are salespeople, right? They make commissions. They get 20% of pretty much everything they sell. And if they are salespeople, then we need them to do so much more than just take orders and be warm, gracious, and hospitable. We need them to walk our guests through the experience, to show them the very best way to experience our restaurant and to help you maximize the square footage in your restaurant, to drive additional sales, to increase average guest spend. So how do you get that? How do you get that out of your servers and bartenders? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Restaurant Strategy.
There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world: those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you build that more profitable and sustainable business. I give talks all over the country. I wrote a book. It's called Restaurant Marketing Mindset. I have a coaching program called the P3 Mastermind. But I want to remind you, I just put out something called the Server Playbook. These are 10 videos, and I'm talking about it specifically on today's episode because it goes hand in glove with what we're going to talk about on today's episode. The Server Playbook are 10 videos. They are tactics, strategies, sales scripts that you can teach your people, and I'm giving this away absolutely for free. The way you get that is to find the link in the show notes. You click that link, you go there, you'll get this absolutely free, and you will get access to my Restaurant Foundations community, right? So it's a membership site. There are over 150 members to date, and you'll find so much more online content and resources there. Regularly, it's $97 a month, but you get your first month for free. At the end of that month, if you don't want to stay in the program, totally fine, just cancel. But at the very least, go in there, watch a bunch of the content, steal all the downloads, right? You get the Server Playbook. That's absolutely free. You also get access to the Restaurant Foundation's membership site with so much more content in there. Go do that now. Find the link in the show notes. Go click and do that now. Actually, pause, do that, and then come back. Are you tired of juggling schedules, tracking hours, worrying about HR compliance, and dealing with last-minute no-shows? It's time to say goodbye to headaches and say hello to TimeForge, the labor management solution designed for the fast-paced world of restaurants, with product offerings ranging from recruitment to retention of your team members. With TimeForge, you can simplify employee scheduling with automated AI schedule based on sales, weather, and other events. You can track attendance and labor costs in real time, keeping up with complex labor laws like Fair Work Week and meal penalties. You can recruit staff who live near your stores from our more than 11 million hourly job seekers. You can pay employees with their wages and tips on a daily basis after every shift. And you can communicate proactively with your staff using messaging and surveys. And that's not all. TimeForge integrates seamlessly with most POS systems, giving you full visibility into labor and sales performance and suggesting when you should staff up or when it's time to staff down. Whether you manage one location or dozens, TimeForge saves you time, money, and stress so you can focus on what really matters, delivering exceptional service and growing your business. Thousands of restaurants already trust TimeForge. Why not yours? Visit timeforge.com/restaurantstrategy and see how TimeForge can help you run your team like clockwork. As always, you'll find that link in the show notes. So, we're talking about how we go from a staff of order takers to a staff of salespeople, because the reality is our servers and our bartenders in particular are salespeople, right? They are commission-based positions. Because they get 20% tip on everything they sell, pretty much, give or take, they are sales positions, right? So for every additional dollar that they make you, they're getting 20 cents on that dollar, which means for every 100 bucks, they get 20 bucks. That's not a bad deal. Now, what we have to do then, and I think we're all in agreement, we got to go from, we got to transition these order takers to full-time salespeople. And the way we do that is very specific and deliberate. The way we don't do it is by getting everybody together at the beginning of the shift and say, hey, guys, listen, I really need you to push this and I really need you to be out there selling and blah, 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 blah. It goes in one ear and out the other. What happens is you need to explain to people what they need to do, how they need to do it, why it matters that they do it that way. And then you need to put everything into place that I'm about to tell you. Every single piece of this. And if it sounds like it's too much, then you need to find somebody that you can delegate this to. But I promise you, the very best restaurants I've ever worked at, the very best restaurants that I've helped run, we had this all in place. And once you do it once, it's done. And then it's just about managing, upkeeping the system that you've already got in place. But here's how you need to approach it, right? I've talked about this four-tier system. Hire, train, model, and coach, right? You hire the talent that has the capacity to do what you need them to do. You train them to do exactly what you need to do. Again, you tell them what they need to do, how you need them to do it, the scripts that that they need to use, right? The things that are going to help them be successful. So you hire people that have the capacity to learn. You train them, meaning you teach them exactly what they need to do. You then model the behavior, so you show them either by pointing to other servers who have been there for a while, more senior bartenders, you have your managers step in and show them how to do it, or you yourself get in there and show them how to do it. And then finally, you coach them. And this is one of the things that always, in fact, of these four pieces, we hire for it, we train for it, and then we assume after 7 days they're really good at it and we don't have to focus on it anymore. But by modeling it, we show them how to get even better. We show them different versions of the script. We show them what it feels like when it happens naturally on the floor. And coaching means you point out in real time. So you eavesdrop, you listen to them greeting a table and doing first approach. And then you pull them aside and say, hey, I just listened to you do first approach there. I have some notes. You said X, Y, and Z. I need you to say A, B, and C. Hey, you made a great recommendation here, but you could have gone further. You actually tell them what you heard and what you would have liked to have heard, right? Or you tell them and say, hey, that was really good. That's exactly what we spoke about. You give them positive reinforcement. Or you have them look at some of the other servers. Hey, I just heard you do your menu spiel on table 12. I want you to watch Jack. Jack's just ready to go over to table 32. And I want you to just listen to how he does it because what he does is really, really effective, right? So we hire for it, we train for it, we model the behavior, and then we coach in real time all the time. That's how you should be using your managers on the floor. They should be listening in, they should be stepping in, they should be showing people, they should be giving them notes in real time. Either criticisms to help them be better or positive reinforcement when your people do what you need them to do. That's crucial. The next thing, and I've talked about this on the show before, so I'm not going to dive in too deep because you can find old episodes on it, but think of training as a three-tiered system, right? We call this the TED plan. You teach, you educate, you develop. TED. You teach, you educate, you develop. And these are a little bit different, right? Teaching sounds like education. It's not. Teaching is training, right? That's the first 7 days. So when we talk about three-tiered, the first tier are the first 7 days. What do I have to do to get somebody good enough to take a station over the course of the first 7 days, right? And that's where we mostly stop our training. But tier two says, what do I need to do to make this person as good as our best person at the end of 90 days? And when you think in terms of that, when you think of a result, of a goal, well, then you're going to come about it differently. So tier one is, how do we get them good enough to just not drown on a Saturday night? Second one is, how do we get them to be as good as Jack or Susan or whoever else is on your floor? How do we get them to be as good as our best person? Meaning, how do we get a bunch of great servers at the end of 90 days? And the last part, development, says, what do we need to do to keep this person here growing, thriving for a decade? First week, first 90 days, the first decade. When you start thinking in the short term, midterm, and long term, it changes the way you go about your business. So then the first 7 days are being shot out of cannon. You're teaching them the phone number, the address, the name of the general manager, the chef, the table numbers, seat numbers, you know, all the ingredients from the vinaigrette on the chopped salad. Fine, they need to know all of that. But they also need to know more advanced tactics, how they build rapport, how they make recommendations, how they upsell, et cetera. That's the first 90 days. How they learn more about the cocktails, the wine list, the all, whatever it is that you have to sell. And then over the course of a decade, what do we need to do to keep this person really satisfied here? To make sure that this is a challenging job and they continue to grow within their position or grow into other positions. When you think of that TED plan, teach, educate, and develop, that changes the way you approach your trading, the way that you get servers ready to succeed, right? The next thing I want you to think really, really clearly about, right, over the course of an hour meal or a 2 hour meal, we like to think there are a lot of opportunities to keep selling things, right? Because the server's there and the server's there to take care of everything the guests need. So when they need another drink, we get it for them. When they want a side dish, we get it for them. When they're ready for a dessert, we get it for them. When they want another bottle of water, we get it for them. But there are really only four areas where a server or a bartender can really affect the check average, right? We talk about AGS, average guest spend. And there are really only four areas that a server really can impact. Number one is first approach. Number two is when they take the order. Number three is focusing on second beverage sales. And number four is what I call the turnaround between entrees to desserts. Those are the four areas that make the biggest impact on the average guest spend. And so what you can do is get your servers, and thereby your managers, really focused on those four areas. Are there things you can do across the entire meal? Of course, obviously. But those are the four areas that they can make the biggest impact to go from a $55 check average to a $75 check average, from a $120 check average to a $150 check average. I promise you, if you focus on those four areas, it'll make a huge difference. Now, on the back half of this episode, I'm going to share with you a bunch of scripts and tactics and strategies for how you can make an impact. And these really, again, go hand in glove with the server playbook. If you have not downloaded the server playbook, there are 10 videos that go into some of these much deeper and then a lot of other things much deeper. And it's absolutely free. Again, you can get that by visiting the link in the show notes. Now, I'm going to go over a whole bunch of scripts here today in just a minute after a word from another one of our sponsors. Pop Menu has reimagined the restaurant. They're breaking the mold of the menu, taking the kitchen doors off the hinges, and serving up their most comprehensive technology solution yet. It's called Pop Menu Max. It comes with the previous ingredients that we've mentioned here on the podcast, right? So websites designed with SEO, marketing tools to keep you top of mind with guests, and of course, the patented interactive menu technology. This new recipe brings automated phone answering, third-party online order aggregation, waitlisting, and more to the table. Pop Menu's phone answering technology has your ringing phones covered. With AI, the simple questions that often keep your phone line tied up can now be handled by the computer without having to pull a staff member away from your in-person hospitality. So, no more missed reservations, no more people asking for your hours, no more missed revenue. And that's just the beginning. You've got a passion for food. Pop Menu's got a passion for technology. Together, that's a recipe for restaurant success. Now, even more digital ingredients are in their technology pantry, and Pop Menu is helping restaurants attract, engage, remarket, and transact with their guests on a whole new level. Trust me, if you're a restaurant owner, you need Pop Menu to take your business to the next level. For a limited time only, get $100 off your first month, plus you get to lock in one flat, unchanging monthly rate. You do that, get started by going to popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy. That's where you can claim the offer. Again, that's $100 off your first month by visiting popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy. As always, that link is in the show notes. Now, running a restaurant means juggling a lot, right? Staffing, inventory, customer service, and of course, your finances. Sales tax has to be done. And while no one plans to miss a deadline or miscalculate a payment, mistakes happen. When those happen, they can lead to penalties, fines, and obviously added stress. That's why there's Davo by Avalara. Davo integrates with your POS system and automatically sets aside sales tax daily, giving you a clear view of your actual cash flow. Then when it's time to file, Davo files and pays your sales tax on time and in full, guaranteed. No more last-minute scrambles or costly mistakes, just seamless automation. Thousands of restaurants already trust Davo, and with a 4.9 star rating on G2, it's a proven solution. Your first monthly filing is free with zero commitment. Get started by visiting davosalestax.com/restaurantstrategy. Again, davosalestax.com/restaurantstrategy. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Now, we're talking about taking your front of house team, your servers and your bartenders, taking them from order takers to salespeople because they are sales positions. They are commissioned. They make 20% of every dollar that they sell. So let's show them how to sell more. That helps you. And by selling more, they actually help themselves. I want to share a series of scripts. These are the most crucial areas. And I'll remind you, this goes hand in hand with the server playbook. It's a series of 10 videos that I've filmed and put online, and I'm giving them away for free. You get that by following following the link in the show notes. Just click the link that says Get the Server Playbook. It's literally called The Server Playbook. These are included in the server playbook, and we go much more in depth in those videos, but I wanted to give you a sense of it, right? I wanted to get you thinking in this way. Now, remember, we talked about our three-tiered system, right? The TED plan. We teach, we educate, we develop. So the first week, the first 90 days, the first decade, we use that four-step framework, hire, train, model, coach, all of that, right? And then we have to build strategies and tactics and, yes, scripts that we can teach our people so that they can do what we need them to do. Because when they do what we need them to do, rather than just saying, hey, guys, listen, I really need you to do this, a lot of them are going, yeah, I know, I want to do that. I just don't know how, whether they say that out loud or not. Your job is to come up with scripts that work and to show them how to put them into practice. I promise you, this is the way to take your restaurant to the next level, to add anywhere between 10 and 20% revenue to your top line, because you already did all the hard work to get people to walk in. Now we have to maximize your real estate. We have to maximize the average guest spend. Make sure that people are buying as much as they want to buy. A lot of times people aren't buying stuff because they didn't know they should, because they weren't offered. They weren't walked through the experience. I promise you, you are not taking advantage of anybody in your dining room, right? If anybody can't afford it, they'll simply say no. If they're not interested, they'll simply say no. But most people, the determination wasn't, do I come out for half of the experience or do I come out for the entire experience? That's not what they say. They say, can I afford to go out to dinner tonight? Or can I not afford to go out to dinner tonight? So if they've already made the decision to be out there, they can already afford it. And your job is to show them the best possible way to experience this restaurant. That's what this is about. So it's not about taking advantage of people. It's about making sure that they know the best way to experience it, right? The first script I want to share with you is on first approach. Your job on first approach, or your server's jobs on first approach, is to get the drink order, right? So I would look at your first approach. I would not give out menus. I wouldn't have the host give out menus. I would not have the server greet with menus when they approach. If the first thing you want people focused on is to order a cocktail or a wine by the glass or a beer, then I would have the server drop that and just say, here's your table. Chip's going to be taking care of you. He'll be over in just a second. I'm going to leave you here with our cocktail list. It also has our wines and beers. Figure out what you want to drink. Chip will be over in just a second to take that drink order. Right? Then when Chip, here we go, I'm Chip. When Chip comes over and says, hi, how's everyone doing tonight? My name's Chip. I'll be taking care of you. They say, hi, Chip. Well, we're good. Perfect. Say, have you guys been here before? No, we haven't been here. Excellent. Welcome. Glad you came in. You're in good hands. I'm going to show you exactly all the best things on this menu. I'm going to bring the menus over in just a minute, but I'd love to get you started off with something from the bar. Who's ready for a drink? The person who is thirsty, the thirstiest person at the table, will identify themselves in that moment. You turn to that person, you take a drink order. What happens is the other dominoes will fall quickly. People say, oh yeah, that sounds good. I'll take one of those too. Oh, I just want a glass of champagne. And they'll all order as long as you get the first one to fall. The first one ordering will get everybody else, right? Now, on rare occasions, somebody says, I need a few more minutes to think. That's my wife. My wife is notorious for that. She does not succumb to peer pressure. The dominoes doesn't often fall with the other dominoes. She'll say, I just need another minute. Fine. Hopefully by then, though, you've gotten the majority of drink orders or some of the drink orders. Then you say, great, I'm going to go ahead and get the bartender working on those. I'll be right back with some menus. Last question here. And then you ask about water. So if you are greeting with menus, don't. If you are greeting with a pitcher and you just start filling up water, don't. Or if the steps of service say the host seats the table and then the busser comes over and fills water, don't. Now, in a casual restaurant, a diner, fine, yes. You just want to get people coffee and water, fine. But in a full service setting, sell people bottled water, right? Now, listen, I don't like to go off anecdotal evidence here, but me and my family, we pretty much always get bottled water because we like sparkling water, right? So when people come over and start pouring us water, I'm like, oh, actually, no, we'd prefer sparkling, right? I'm going to order sparkling no matter what. But there are plenty of other people who would do bottled water if they were just offered bottled water. I promise you, if you go from the kind of place that just pours water on every table and instead you ask every table, you will probably get 10 to 20% of your tables just ordering bottled water simply because you've given them the opportunity to order bottled water. So first approach has to be done in that order, right? Your first job is to get a drink order. Second job is to obviously put them at ease, make sure that they know they're in good hands, to tell them you're going to go get the menus, and then to get a water order. Then you get the bartender working on the drinks, you go and get the water, and then you bring menus, right? Hopefully by the time you bring menus or shortly thereafter, the drinks are ready and you can hit them on the table. That's how we do first approach. And if you're not doing first approach there, I promise you, you are leaving money on the table, right? Now, I want to talk to you about the right way to take an order for drinks, right? Now, if you've got specialty drinks that can be executed really easily, just try and sell those. If your drinks take a very, very long time, I used to do this as a server, right? If my drinks service bar gets backed up, they got a lot of touches, for the most part, I would never sell them. I would always try to sell champagne. Now, number one, the cocktails were $14, $15, $16. A glass of champagne was $28 to $32. So I want to try and sell champagne. So I'd walk over to the table and say, hi, how's everyone doing tonight? My name's Chip. I'll be taking care of you. Have you dined with us before? And they say, no, we've never been here. So perfect. You're in great hands. Welcome. So glad you're here. I'd love to start you off with a glass of champagne. It's the perfect way to start the meal. Would anyone like a glass of champagne? Right? And then somebody, they'll order champagne. And then you can just go and bring it to the table, right? Oftentimes, we would pour wines by the glass at the table. I worked upscale, fine dining, so that's often what we would do. But I could just execute that, and I didn't have to wait for the bartenders. I didn't have to wait for the line to go down at service bar. I could just get them drinks quickly, an expensive drink, and guess what? A really exceptional way to start a nice meal. When you take drink orders, you have to figure out what you're going to try to sell. And you definitely have to make a recommendation, right? You're going to see this common thread come up as I go through some of these. Have something in mind. So come over and say, hi, how's everyone doing? I'd love to start you off with something from the bar, just so you know we're famous for X. We're famous for Y. I always like to recommend Z. It's a great way to start the meal in this place. Whatever those things are, just tell people the best way to experience it. Oftentimes, it will take all the question out of it. They'll say, oh, yeah, you know better than me. Yes, let's do that. Right? That's how we do that. Last thing I want to say about drink orders. When somebody orders, I'll just take a gin and tonic. The next question is, perfect. And did you have a preference on gin? We have. And then you start naming them. You start naming high-end options before you start naming anything else. Same thing. I'll just take a vodka martini straight up with olives. Perfect. And did you prefer Grey Goose, Belvedere, Tito's, right? You name the high-end options first. Number one, you make more money on the cocktail. Number two, right? A high-end spirit is better in a martini, let's say, than nothing. Now, if it really doesn't matter, fine, doesn't matter. But you don't make that determination as a salesperson. You let them determine. And if they say, no, it doesn't matter, just the well is fine. Fine. Great. I promise you, though, if you use my script and you say, did you have a preference on vodka? We have Grey Goose or Belvedere or Kettle One or Tito's. 9 times out of 10, they will just name one of the ones you just said. That's how we take drink orders. That's the second thing I want to point out today. Number three, right? When you explain the menu, this is an incredible opportunity. And again, I can tell you that you should do this, but what you have to do is you have to build a script for your servers to use. Always point out the signatures, the expensive items, the profitable items, right? Number one, hopefully those are the items that that most people love in your restaurant anyway, but people want to be guided. They want to be told what to order. So they are impressionable and they are trusting you. So utilize that trust and don't take them to something that sucks. Hopefully the stuff at your restaurant is great and whatever they recommend is going to be great. But if the fancy tomahawk chop for two is great, then point it out. Say, hey, there's a bunch of really great stuff here. We're famous for this dish. And also, I love to recommend the tomahawk. It's more expensive than everything else, but I tell you, it's absolutely worth it. If you haven't had a good steak in a while, you should not miss this one. What happens is half the tables go, yeah, you know what? I haven't had a good steak in a while. I will take them up on that. Whatever it is that you want to sell, just tell them that. They will thank you. They will thank you for that. And if they really don't have the money to spend that, if that's not what they're interested in spending, then they'll just say, thanks so much. No, I'm gonna look through the menu. I'm going to pick something else. The fourth thing I want to point out is when you take the order, you always have to, number one, talk about something that they should be pairing with it. Right. So if they order something that goes really well with a glass of champagne, say, you know, I wanted to make a recommendation. I know you ordered the oysters. The oysters have a little bit of creme fraiche and caviar. The perfect pairing is a glass of champagne. Right. Would you like to do a glass of champagne with your oysters or whatever it is? Right.
Again, this is not just in fine dining. This is in an upscale, in any sort of full service, right? Unless somebody's getting a burger and a Diet Coke, fine. Except, I'm guessing, you could probably say, hey, have you ever tried to put a fried egg on that? Hey, have you ever added avocado to your burger? There's always something to pair with it, to add on to it, right? Make sure they do that. The other thing is, when you take the order, and this is a trick I learned from a server many, many years ago, 20 plus years ago, she would always, always keep something in her back pocket. So no matter what they ordered or what they didn't order, she always pointed out something that they didn't order. You know, I'm just looking over the order, and it looks like nobody ordered the risotto. It looks like nobody ordered the seafood salad, right? We're actually famous for our risotto. I might recommend just getting an order of that and putting it right in the middle. That way everybody can have a, you know, have a little taste of it. You really shouldn't go through your meal and miss that dish. Whatever it is, right? There should be something you can recommend to put in the center. Same thing with like entrees and side dishes. So it looks like everybody's ordered their entree. You know what? Most of the dishes you've ordered don't have a lot of greens. I might recommend this. Or you know what? We do this side dish of mushrooms that's lights out. You shouldn't miss. Do you guys like mushrooms? Because if so, you should get an order of that for the middle. Whatever it is, tell them that they missed something that they really don't want to miss. It is crucial, right? Next thing I want to talk about is second beverage sales. The key to second beverage sales is getting the first drink on the table. And then the way you get a second beverage sale is to focus on table maintenance. This is how you teach your staff. When they are done, you get the dead glass off the table. When they are nearly done, you go over and you say, it looks like you're almost finished with this. And then you're going to try to get them another drink. Now, here's the best thing. The key to second beverage sales is through timing and framing, right? Those two words are crucial, timing and framing. The success rate when you try to get a second beverage on the table before the entrees hit is astronomical. It's like 60% success rate versus 80% failure rate. I promise you, if you just try to get second beverage on the table before entrees hit, you will have much more success. The other one is framing. It's not, would you like another? You're not asking a yes or no question. We always ask a this or that question, right? Would you like another glass of the white, or were you ready to move on to the red? Were you enjoying the old fashioned, or did you want to move on and try the Moscow Mule? That's how we do it. It's not, would you like another one? Yes or no. It's 50-50. It's a coin toss whether they're going to say yes or no. But you don't give no as an option. Did you want another one of these, or did you want to switch to something new? And if they're really done, they'll say, no, actually, I don't need another drink. Fine. We're all adults. I've done that plenty of times. I've been at restaurants where servers ask me that. They do exactly this. And I say, that was really good. No, I'm fine. I'm not going to have anything else to drink. Right? That is crucial. Second beverage sales, timing and framing. You got to remember that. Last thing I want to talk about is the loop around to dessert. And I talk about this in the server playbook in much greater depth, but I'll just say this. Most servers will go over to the table, right? So we finished with our entrees, they clear entrees, they crumb or they clean up and they come over to the dessert menu and say, did we say, and they sort of make the bloated face, right? Like, did we save any room for dessert? And of course, the natural answer is like, no, I'm totally stuffed. You're making the bloated face. I'm feeling that face. No. But we want to sell something else. Now, I know the trick. I know servers are like, I just want to get this table out of here so I can get this reset and resat. I get it. It doesn't work out that way. There is a way to get desserts on the table and to get beverages, you know, after dinner drinks on the table and still turn the table faster than any of the other servers on the floor. I've seen it. I've done it. It works. The key is the loop around, right? I call this the turnaround, looping around from entrees to dessert. When people are all done, right, you come over and you say, and hopefully now if they're pre-theater or going to a movie or got to go pick up their kids or whatever it is, hopefully you've addressed that. You know their time constraints, right? But you go over and say, are you finished here with the entrees? Like, perfect. Let me get these dishes out of your way. And say, hey, I'm not sure if you saved any room for dessert, but you actually, there's two desserts on our menu you cannot miss. I would recommend getting both. But if you just want one, I would pick one of those two. What are you thinking? Did we save room for dessert? What happens is that at that point, if they just want a little something, they'll say, oh, you know what? The souffle sounds really great. Let's just do that. Or, oh yeah, that chocolate cake sounds really good. The one you just mentioned, right? Or if they want to see the full menu, say, no, we love dessert. This is me. I always love to look at the whole dessert. No, we're definitely going to do dessert. Just bring us the whole menu, right? Great. Perfect. Right? But what you're trying to do is you're trying to salvage those people who are maybe really full or maybe don't have much time. And you're saying like, hey, if you just had room for a little something, I would have X. I wouldn't miss Y. You make a recommendation. They say, oh, actually, your recommendation sounds great. Can we just do one of those for the middle of the table? You say, great, perfect. You clear the table. You go over, you plug that in. You come back, you get them all set up for dessert. And you say, great, kitchen's working on that dessert.
Who would anyone care for coffee or tea or maybe an after-dinner drink, a bourbon, a scotch, dessert wine, right? Since you've already locked them in for being here for the next 15 or 20 minutes to enjoy the dessert, let's make sure we're selling them everything we possibly can. And P.S., that's why we want to sell desserts. Not to get the additional $10 or $15 on the check, but to get the cappuccinos for $5.50 and to get the scotch for $18 and the dessert wine for $16. That's what we want. We want when everybody orders a $5 coffee, that's another $20. So the $15 dessert plus the $20 in coffees, that's 35 additional dollars that you've sold on a four top, let's say. Or if they get bourbon or scotch or a dessert wine or something like that. Absolutely crucial. You cannot miss that. So if you're a server or if you have servers who like to just skip desserts, they can get the table out of there, get the table reset so they can get it reset. I'm telling you, they are not making you as much money as they should be making you, and they are actually not making themselves as much money. Because when you do this turnaround, you actually end up turning the table even faster because you're not clearing the table and then crumbing them and then bringing dessert menus and letting them think about it for 10 minutes and then coming back and getting that. You're just tightening all of that. You're cutting 10 or 15 minutes off of their meal and ensuring that they're getting dessert. It's absolutely crucial. All right, guys, that's it. That's how we make a team of order takers into a team of sellers. You have to make sure they know what you want them to do, and you have to give them the tools, meaning the scripts and the strategies, to be able to do this well. That's it, guys. One final reminder. We have the server playbook. It's 10 videos. They're all less than 10 minutes long, and they teach each of these strategies. You can literally just teach these to your team. Whether you say they came from me or you take credit for them, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just make sure you are doing that. Again, I appreciate you guys being here each and every week. Thank you very much. I will see you next time.